I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/fax or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not a bright spot. This Zach Meisel tweet. Shane Bieber will not start Friday for Akron. He reported soreness after throwing a bullpen session the other day. He met with team doctors and will consult with Dr. Keith Mista, to figure out... What's next?
Mista.
Yeah.
That's bad news. We'll find out the extent of it, obviously. But I think a lot of people right now are banking on the idea that he'll come right in and then he'll be one of the key parts of this rotation. And right now we need another piece of the rotation. Even though, Ortiz was so good last night, and it feels like between Gavin, between Bybee, the 1-3 is there. But yeah, there's still holes.
I just think, like, we just had such a good kind of run of positivity here for the Guardians.
After the Ben Lively injury, we've been on a run.
And then, I mean, even Luis Ortiz last night, that's as good as we've seen him here yet, but probably more on the upper side of what he did in Pittsburgh last year, it felt like we were kind of on a roll. This one, and listen, you can infer. I know we're not supposed to infer, but you can infer that he met with team doctors and then decided to consult with the leading Tommy John consultant in America, the guy who I believe did the original Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. You think that? I mean, again, I don't even want to have you guess onto the extent of this, because who would know? How would we know the extent of this? It's just never a good thing when they go back and meet with him again.
Now, it wouldn't surprise me if this just ends up delaying his start. And you know, the truth is, I want to say Shane's got a player option for next year with a $4 million buyout or something. Like, there's a pretty strong buyout for him. What will be interesting is there's gonna come a moment where he only has so many starts to base the next year off of and actually opts in. So plus side, downside, if this isn't he needs Tommy John again, if this just cost him some time, you know, for him and his future, the more time he has pitching in the bigs this year, the better for him to secure that next deal and maybe opt out. So I'm just trying to find a needle in a haystack of positivity with this
news. No, and I get it. So this is going to obviously, I mean, we were going to do the option. It's like, is it Slade? Is it Logan Allen? Who's going to fill out the rotation, essentially? And now that just kind of, that question kind of goes away for a little bit.
But you know what, listen, in terms of their overall health of where they're at, they still have John Means, who's also coming back from Tommy John. He's actually coming back from a second Tommy John. They've got Nikhazy, who we saw earlier this year. They've got Parker Messick. So they do still have depth. This isn't like last year where, like, okay, who's the guy in AAA? And you're like, I've never heard of this human being before.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had to sign Matthew Boyd, where you had to sign, you had to make the trade for Alex Cobb just to get through the regular season, let alone get through the postseason, which is when things kind of fell apart. You still do have eight quality arms to kind of make it through the rest of the season. That should be enough where we are right now.
Yeah, but they were building up, and I was going to throw Ortiz into that group because over the past month or so, he's been one of your best pitchers, but like between Ortiz, between Bibee, between Williams, and then if Bieber could come back and be somewhere in that, because they're all in that same little stretch of, none of them right now are giving you ace production, but they're all giving you two quality production, you know, like as a number two. And if you had four guys, one through four, that were giving you number two quality in a rotation, like you were going to be very damaging to other teams.
So I agree, but I think my hope is this is just a
minor setback.
We're going to shut you down. We're going to let you, you know, maybe rest your arm. Maybe Shane is a bulldog. Maybe you just pushed it too much. And maybe, just maybe, this allows you more time with Ciccone and Logan Allen. Because I think Ciccone would be the first guy to go down right now. I got to say, I'm like tonight he might just get gassed tonight. Who knows? He's a working project, but man, he's got the stuff. And I hate this comparison because nobody is this guy.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of Corey Kluber. Like how Corey was like a late developer, but the stuff was always there. He just needed to come together. I don't think Ciccone will ever be a number one.
No.
But I think he has the stuff to be like a really good, fierce number three. And I think if you put it, a number three becomes your fourth or fifth starter. And by the way, I think he can be that this year. Like, I don't think he's like a guy where it's like, we're going to wait forever for him to fulfill that potential. I think he just needs big league reps with this company around him.
I like your optimism. I like your optimism.
You're not a big Ciccone guy?
Not really, no.
Why not?
No, he's fine. He's okay.
How dare you?
It's not an
how
dare you.
He's better than fine.
It's fine. He's okay.
If he throws a no-hitter tonight, you're going to thank me.
We've seen him pitch, three games or so, somewhere around there, the ERA over five in those three games, and that doesn't tell a whole entire story, obviously, but he's fine. He's okay.
So, Shane Bieber.
That would be wild if he threw a no-hitter tonight now.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if the conversation, if he allows, seven earned runs tonight, then what happens with that convo?
This conversation never happened.
We just throw it out.
Yeah, okay. This conversation.
I want to make sure we're all on the same page there.
Yeah, this conversation will self-destruct on the free Odyssey app, which you can download anywhere.
And it actually does exist for up to 3 days.
Yeah. And, you know, so like, for instance, my cousin wanted to listen to us talking about her and how hard she punches.
Oh, yeah?
And go back to, carry the two. Tuesday's open. It's right in there.
Did you call your cousin and tell her, hey, you got a shout out today?
I've been meaning to text her and be like, you should listen to the first segment of Tuesday's show, but I didn't.
Would she take that as a compliment, the fact that she can hit harder than just about anyone
you know? Yeah, she smiles every time somebody talks about, even her brother.
Oh,
will
this
admit,
is like the legend of your cousin, that she just hits people really hard.
My cousin Johnny is 6'4", 6'5". He's like 215 pounds, something like that. He'll gleefully admit that his twin punches harder than he does. So he still also punches very
hard. Well, that's a twin, though. I feel like you get to, if you have a twin, their success is your success. It's kind of like how you look at your children. Like anything they do, it's like, I also, like that. I'm so proud for them. I want them to be better than me. That's the same thing with, I would imagine, a twin.
I think this proves you don't have a twin. Because I think that can go one of two ways.
Well, we know I don't have a twin. I haven't been hiding that from anyone. If I had a twin,
this could be like,
wouldn't that be a development? 8 years, 9 years into knowing each other? If I was like, yeah, so I have this twin. His name is Jack.
Oh, and by the way,
he does sports radio in Buffalo.
He's been co-hosting with me. Every other day he comes in and does the show.
What a boondoggle that would be. You're like, we thought you were just bipolar, Jonathan. No, turn out that's your twin.
I would not want a twin of me. I already have Izzy, and she's my doppelganger. She's my... like, she's the kid that most resembles me, and there are days where I'm like, I've had enough of both of us.
If you had a twin, and you, again, your father, two twins, would you feel more accomplishment with their accomplishments or your own?
My own.
Well, because it's weird, right? Because like, if you have a twin, you have the exact same DNA. And so, I don't know. You'd be like, well, what happened here? How did they end up becoming this, and I became this, if one was wildly more accomplished than the other?
I don't know. I don't know. I've always, okay. Most twins
same
kind of,
starting point.
Most twins a little different. That's all I'm going to say. Not bad, just different. And most of my interaction with twins my age that aren't my cousins who are twins, or even younger people like my twins who are twins, is there just something? There's something different there. Like, I can't remember their name, but there were these twins in my school in high school, and they were just. There's always some twin thing going on, and I was like, you guys, this is annoying. This is really annoying. They just look at each other, and you'd be like, I know exactly what you're thinking. Don't think you're disguising that your little judgment there that you're thinking to each other. Everyone can pick up in your telepathy.
Have your twins, have they created like their own language for themselves or done anything like that?
No, but they have their own rules for themselves.
They should. It's like the cool part about being a twin.
Yeah, they think there's just a lot that they think doesn't apply to them. And it's really funny because they get like really mad. We're like, hey, man, you kind of trashed the living room here. Let's pick some of this stuff up. And they're like, why me? And I'm like, you did it. And they're like, well, but Sophie did it. I'm like, no, you both did it. And but see, that's the thing.
Well,
they
that would
play.
Be annoying. I wouldn't want to take responsibility for like if my twin did it, doesn't mean I did it.
Well, no. The point is, no matter if it's true or not, they just blame it on the other twin.
Yeah, I would probably play a lot
it's
of that
the,
too.
It's twinning, and I think it's annoying as hell.
Have you taken them to the Twins Fest in Twinsburg?
No, they want to go. We've wanted to go multiple times.
I want to go
every single time we've gone to do it. There was some sort of conflict. We couldn't do it. Every single year since we've been back.
This year's got to be the year. It's got to be like late July, somewhere around there.
I think it is.
Can this be the year?
I think it has to be. Because if you know, once they get into teenage years, they're not going to want to do it. Which maybe makes it funnier.
There's twins of all ages that go to that thing.
Now, while we're talking Gardos, again, Shane Bieber felt a little soreness in his throwing arm in his last bullpen. He's now consulting with the man, Mista Mista, as he's known. Keith, I actually think it's Keith Meister, who is the dean of Tommy John right now. So we'll see how that goes. The Bleacher Report suggested trade, which has the Guardians sending Cade Smith, Jason Chorio, and Ralphie Velasquez. So they're number two and I think number five or six prospects to Boston for Jaron Duran. How do we feel about this?
What did Keith Law call it? Laughable?
Laughable from the Boston side.
Yeah. All right. Talk me into it. Talk me into why Boston does it.
They get an A-plus closer, two assets to turn around and add another.
So the part of this that I think Keith Law was missing is the idea that Cade Smith would be traded as a closer and not just a reliever.
And not a controllable closer.
Yeah.
A controllable closer.
Because like, he could legitimately close for 27 baseball teams right now.
And what he said that was correct is relievers don't have that kind of trade value. But closers, and again, controllable closers, guys who can give you, and I think Cade's got four more years of control after this, and which I think is similar to what Class A has. If you tried to trade Class A right now, you would get a gigantic haul for him because of the control as much as his dominance.
Yeah.
So I think Smith is interesting. Guardians fans who kind of reacted were like, absolutely not on Cade Smith. And I was like, you come up with a new closer type every other year.
You got a lot of different guys in, as far as relievers. If you can use a reliever to help get you someone that, you know, all-star, someone that can slug close to 500, a legitimate outfield position player, you do that.
Now, my problem with this trade is the guy you're trading for is a really nice player. He would solve center field. He's not a free agent until 2029. He doesn't really solve your need, which is you've got a bunch of guys who are quite good at contact. You don't have enough guys with pop, even last year.
Right. I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like his career high is 21 home runs. That's nice. If Stephen Kwan hit that, we'd be over the moon. He'd also be MVP. We'd be over the moon for it. Yeah, I think you need, if you're going to trade, go find me power.
Well, I mean, so again, the slugging was there. I mean, he slugged almost 500, but he just didn't have, it was 21 home runs instead of around 25 to 30, which shouldn't be impossible to find, by the way. Like, I don't think you don't have to give up the farm in order to get someone like that. It's just, when it comes to
him.
They just don't. That's the sad reality. Maybe they just convinced themselves that they'll always be able to find it, but it's been years now, and it just not has materialized the way that they think it would.
Well, and if not for the pitching factory, I do think we would have had changes in this organization, because they have brought in every manner, every type of hitter, and just like the power hitters have not worked out. And I don't know, like, at some point I wonder if it's the philosophy, like if they're just screwing up guy. Because again, we saw Nolan Jones immediately go to Colorado, rookie of the year
type
candidate.
Yeah, he was awesome.
We've seen, and now granted, it petered off last year because of injury. Will Benson had a good run.
Two different guys with the last name Diaz leave and be awesome.
And so honestly, even like picking which prospects to trade and which to not, between Yanir Diaz and Junior Caminero, like the Guardians do not pick the wrong guy to trade in most circumstances, and they have with two of their best hitting prospects out of the Latin operations in the last 5 years.
Yeah, the one with Yandy is the one that bothers me a lot, only because when he got there, he was like, so what big drastic change did you make? He's like, well, I just swung up on the baseball. They told me I need to swing up. They're like, I'm hitting all these hard line drives and all these hard grounders, and they taught me how to do something that legitimately, Nick, people in high school teach that. Like, that's not like an advanced thing with baseball. Swing up, ball goes in the air, ball goes far. And the Guardian just never taught it to him.
I mean, Yandy had like one great year and one really good year. He's kind of been just a dude other than that, though, right?
He was an all-star. Was it 1 year or 2 years?
It was 2023. Yeah.
I mean, like, it was, again, it's still, it's just, it was all based off of that. It didn't change anything else. Like, anything that he's been asked about within his approach to the plate, it's like the Rays were the first team to tell me to swing up on the baseball.
But I wonder if, like, last year they traded for Lane Thomas. And by the way, I think Lane kind of fits. It's not the same. Somebody called Lane and Duran the same guy. That's just not true at all.
It's not true.
Jaron is like an elite leadoff hitter. Like, and honestly, you could put him and Kwan back to back to start the lineup, and you'd have your two hole figured out. You just have to deal with the occasional lefty out of the bullpen. I don't think it mattered to either hitter. I don't think they're going to get the power bat this year in trade, because I think that's what they thought they did with Lane Thomas last year. And this year is as competitive as last year was. But that's the one thing Keith Law got right today, and what David Sampson got right this morning. Trade for a power bat. And it doesn't have to be, Aaron Judge's aren't available. Juan Soto's aren't available. Kyle Schwarber's might be. Like, guys of that ilk, who their one tool is just a massive amount of power. So, Shane Bieber, little afraid here. Shane Bieber sat down for a minute here, but Cade Smith and two prospects. Your second prospect and your fifth prospect for Jaron Duran. Would you want the Guardians to do that deal? And when we come back, the lone bright spot for the Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan.
I almost sent him a text message, and I don't do that typically, where I would like send somebody a text being like, here's why you're wrong, and let me clarify for you, national baseball writer. He did this whole write-up around the AL Central and went through the whole team by team, and the big gripe he had, and it was a lot of people have a gripe with what's happened with the two spot in the Guardians lineup. It has been, in all context, very, very bad. And you are in Rockies territory as far as where they set up with their two-hole as well. Awful. Can't escape it, can't excuse it. But he put the blame all on Stephen Vogt for why J-Ram went from the two spot to the three spot. So he's like Vogt got credit in the beginning because he had J-Ram there and that was the right move, and now he's got to get back to him. That's not really Stephen Vogt's call at this point. Like, yeah. J-Ram tried it. J-Ram, who is... made a Hall of Fame career playing in the three spot, decided, I don't like that. And then went back to the three spot and has been mashing one of the best players in baseball. Like, I'll put a lot of things at the feet of Stephen Vogt when I can, but that one is just, that's not on him.
So we do have Too High, Too Low, Just Right coming up in about 15 minutes here, but...
I probably should let that one go and not text him that, huh?
I think you should text it to him.
I'll text him this clip.
Can you BCC me on it? Can I get blind carbon copied on it so I can also enjoy... Can you do that? I'm pretty sure you can do that.
On a text message?
I'm pretty sure. Gotta just check it out.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, like, BCC'd anyone, even on an email.
Oh, I have. Yeah. Well, the good days when I was a supervisor and I could lord my power over people.
Yeah, that shows how I've never worked an office job. I maybe respond to maybe like 5 emails a year. I read emails. I get emails. People ask things of me. I just probably respond to maybe 5 a year in total.
I think I respond to like 5 a month. Because if they send me something, I always make sure to say yes, no, thank you. Even if it's just like a kind of, just to let them know that I saw it.
Yeah, but people that are in like the desk monkey game, that's like 30 a day.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah, they live in the world of emails.
How would you know? You're not a desk monkey.
It's an assumption. I'm making a broad assumption here that I feel like people that live in that that desk world, that's all their life is just email.
So my problem with the corporate world when I was in it is that nobody communicated, and it drove me crazy. Even when I helped out my first PD in Charlotte, I helped him out because he just couldn't communicate. He was a really talented dude, but he just couldn't communicate. And so I would have to walk, I would send an email, and I would have to walk from all 4 parties involved, from office to office, making sure everybody knew because people just couldn't communicate down there.
And walking was obviously quicker, got the job done.
No. So what it was I sent an email, but because you might ignore that email, because you will do that from time to time, yeah, now I'm going to darken your doorstep so that you can't later say, oh, I never saw that. Because there was a lot of that. There was just, I'm going to say, there were some gaps in the leadership in Charlotte.
What would drive me insane? The meeting to have a meeting.
Oh. You know what? Almost got fired from a job that I almost got fired from like 4 times, from walking out of a meeting to have a meeting.
Those would drive me up the wall. I don't know anyone that would get along with it, but they would drive me insane.
And then I had to I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. I was like, this meeting does not, I have a lot of work. This meeting does not pertain to me. And I didn't realize that I was already in Dutch, because they were very, very, very astutely pointing out that I was working a lot here and that was taking a fair amount of my focus. And they were not wrong. I think they also surmised.
Like, you guys see what's happening here, right?
I think they also surmised that I spent a lot of my time in my office when I wasn't on phone calls, training people, watching things on my phone and answering emails, that I wasn't really that interested in the job anymore, and thought everyone that worked there was tedious and childlike. I think they surmised that at some point.
Yeah.
But it was the first time I realized it was potentially in Dutch. And this thing wasn't going full time yet. And I was just like, well, okay, this doesn't pertain to me. I actually do have work today. And so I got up and walked out, and oh my God, somebody, it wasn't the big boss, but like one of the big boss's underlings was like incredulous. Like,
well, you knew that you just kicked the hornet's nest there. I feel like they wait for drama or something like that to happen so they can come down hard.
And then I ended up saying like, oh yeah, sorry, I got to call about my kid.
Oh, that's a good save.
And I blatantly lied.
That's a good save.
One of the times I just blatantly lied in my life, because I realized that they clearly, I was not as secure as I thought I was. And they, yeah. And then, so then, like 6 months later, called into an HR thing, because again, they were trying to fire me. But they just knew they didn't have grounds for it, but they were trying to fire me because I didn't fit their clique. I didn't like them. They didn't really like me.
I think if I wanted to.
I also was stealing money, quite frankly, a little bit. Just not literally. I don't mean literally. Oh, okay. I mean like.
Who's to say?
I mean, I knew when I had to work hard and I didn't, and they knew that too. And so, yeah, they called into HR and they were like, hey, what was this about you walking out of an important meeting? And I was like, oh, my kid. And they were like, oh, say no more. You're a dad first. And I was like, you're darn tootin' I am.
You're like, you're right, I am.
Yeah.
How long, if I wanted to, I feel like in that office environment, if I wanted to set you off and try to find a way to get you to basically make a mistake that HR would deem fireable, I'm pretty sure I could.
Run that by me again.
if I was your supervisor in that setting or whatever, I think if anyone spends any amount of time around you, I think I'd be able to find enough ways to just get you incredibly mad to the point where it would cause HR to then fire you. If I was really seeking that out, I feel like I know the traps I would need to set in order to have that happen.
So this is when we didn't make a lot of money, right? We were new parents. We were eking by. And so Nick Wilson played the game as well.
You just internally bottle it all up?
Bottled it all up. And then,
good for you.
And then there became a point where you have enough success where you're like, oh, I'm just going to say what I think because that's kind of my job. And then here we are.
Yeah, let me know how that one feels. I haven't gotten there yet.
Tuesday.
I'm a company man. No, Tuesday. I'm a company man. You know this about. You know this about me.
Ever said anything bad about this company on air?
Not this company.
No,
not this company.
No, it's just every other company I've worked for.
Yeah, but this one's great.
They might notice a trend. Too high, too low, just right. Leading off with a honor bestowed. Donovan Mitchell leveling up. Let's get it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.